Welcome to the Dundee LM podcast. We're thrilled to have you join us today. This podcast is a space where we explore faith, community, and inspiration. Whether you're tuning in during your morning commute or relaxing at home, we hope you find encouragement and insight in our discussions. Today, we're diving into the Lord's Prayer sermon series, so let's get started.
We have been, we started last week, the Lord's Prayer. Going through the Lord's Prayer over these next few weeks. And we're going to be having different speakers there, so it's not always going to be myself that's going to be doing that. Last week, we talked about the first line, Our Father who is in heaven. And today, we're going to be looking at the next part. But one of the things that we are doing is we are saying the Lord's Prayer just before we bring God's Word. So I wonder if you would all stand, and we're going to just pray it together. The Lord's Prayer. Could you put that up, Wilson? And I know there is different versions. This was the one I put up that I could easily understand and easily say. So let's pray it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. There is on the back there, I put them out last week, just the Lord's Prayer, which just gives you a brief summary of each of the lines there. So that's at the back there. I also, as you come in, I've just put on here some of my notes here. That's on one side. On the other side is all the verses that I'm going to be using today. A lot of times when we don't bring a pen or we don't take notes, and we try and remember what were the verses. So I'm trying to just put it down there so that you've got it. And I encourage you, go home and study it. Go home and look at God's Word yourself there. The Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew and in Luke. Last week, we talked and we shared a bit about the importance of prayer. Prayer is important to the life of the believer. And I would encourage every one of us to build a prayer life into our lives. And again, it's not a time to, when you hear about prayer, when you hear prayer mentioned, if you were like me years ago, when someone started talking about prayer, my initial first thought was, I'm not praying. And starting to feel guilty that I don't pray enough. But I want you just to come before God and say, God, help me to build prayer into my life. And if you've not got a prayer life, start with 5 minutes. Start somewhere, but start consistently. 5 minutes consistently is better probably than 1 hour every 3 months or whatever. But living a consistent prayer life. And we saw from Scripture that we are called to be faithful in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, keep on praying. In Colossians, it talks about devote yourselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and fellowship. So there was a devotion to prayer. There was an importance of prayer. Jesus, just before he brings the Lord's Prayer, is talking about our prayer life. And the way to pray, praying in secret. He talks about getting into our room and closing the door and coming before God in prayer. So again, that personal prayer life, and not just public. We love public prayer. We are praying on Friday night here in the church together. So there's public prayer, but most of our time is spent out with the church. And that is why it's important to build prayer into our personal lives. And praying God's will. How many of us are praying and asking God, is this your will? Well, I would say that if you want to know that you're praying God's will, pray from the Bible. Pray God's words. I would say that your praying goes well. In James, it talks about praying with the wrong motives. But we want to pray with the right motives here. And praying the Lord's Prayer, I believe, is a prayer where we are praying God's will. We are praying with the right motives there. Today, we're looking at Holy is Your Name. Hallowed be Your Name. Or as one young girl says, Harold be Your Name. Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be Your Name. Well, Harold is not one of God's names there. On the sheet at the back that you've got there, there's a quote from, what's his name, Chris Hodges, that says, Hallowed be Your Name, we are to worship God. He is holy, He is a holy God, and His name is holy. When we worship God, it changes our focus from ourselves and towards God. It's in the place of worship that He is magnified, and our hearts respond in an attitude of awe and thankfulness. Names in the Bible reflect the character of the person, and so the names of God, or the names God is known by, reflect His character. And there is many names. You've got some names there on the sheet there at the back. The Lord's Prayer, I would suggest and say, is a prayer that we can live by, not just say by rote, where we just pray it as a formula, but it's something that we can live by. And that is why I believe it's important to understand what the prayer is, what each line means there, that we can live by the prayer that we are praying. And I did encourage you, as you meet together, as husbands and wives meet together, they live together. Well, unless you're working so much, you don't see each other, your ship's passing in the night. But you know, as husband and wife, pray the Lord's Prayer. As you're out with friends, just even in a coffee shop, pray quietly. Why don't you say, well, let's just close or let's finish before we leave. Let's just say the Lord's Prayer together. Just building it as a habit into our life. And you know, the more we say it, the more, even in our mind, I believe it suddenly it comes to our heart. And we begin just to see our lives aligning with God's word. The Lord's Prayer, as I said, to live by, not just say. It's a framework, it's a guide on how we can pray. Jesus teaches us how to pray. And Jesus says, this is how you should pray. I'm just going to read just some of the verses in case someone says, you never read from the Bible. Let's just read what I've been talking about. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 5. Jesus teaching about prayer and fasting. Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on streets, corners, and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your heavenly Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. There's a scary verse. God sees everything. When you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this. Pray like this. Here's the instructions. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. And then it goes on to talk about fasting. Hallowed be your name. Holy. If you look up the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster dictionary is the one that I used. It talks about holy being exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Holy. It's exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. John Stott, a theologian, he says, holy is your name is a plea that the Father's name will be regarded as holy. This is our first petition. Holy is your name. This is a call, I believe, to worship. As we see the holiness of God, as we discover more about God and his name being holy, I believe the response is in worship. Seeing God in the right place through our worship. And I believe we see ourselves in the right place, that he is God. And know today that you are not God. You are not God. Come on, turn to someone and say, you're not God. You're not God. God is. Guys, your wife is not God. Wives, your husband is not God. God is God. And his name is holy. And this, I believe, is seeking the face of God. Before we seek the hand of God. A lot of our prayers is, God, help me. God, provide. God, do this for me. God, would you do this? Get me out of this situation. God, help me. And a lot of our prayers, it starts off with that. But this, I believe, this tells us is about seeking the face of God. As you will see in the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms look at and focus, first of all, on God. As you see, David, he magnifies God. He blesses God. He acknowledges God. He talks about the greatness of God. And then he brings his situations to God. And you know, why is that? Why is that? Because when we do that, we see God as he is. And so when we come with our stuff, then it doesn't seem as big. Because God is much bigger than anything we will ever face in our lives. He is greater. His righteous right hand will come down and he plucks us up out of just that miry pit in our life. And yes, it would be great if God would just take away all trouble, all hardship, just give us such good problem-free lives. Who would love a problem-free life? Yeah, problem-free. Going through life like, oh, wow, goodness, God, would you send a problem today, God? God, it's been 4 weeks and I've not had a problem. No, we will have trouble. We will have problems in our lives. And God is with us in them. Because it's only when we face our stuff, when we face that trouble with God, that our faith is grows. Our trust in God grows. When God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, it would have been easier just to wipe every enemy out of the promised land and give them a clean slate. There's the land. Go in and possess it. I've cleaned it out for you. But he left some of the enemies because he knew that the people needed to learn to trust in God. To trust in God. So we seek God's face first, not just his hand, his blessing, his caring for us, his delivering us. You encouraged so far this morning? In seeking his face, we are honouring God for who he is, not just what he does for our life. And let me tell you, God does bless our lives. I am a blessed man. I am a blessed man. You are a blessed people. And again, it is so important that we try and build in thankfulness. Even each day, one thing that we can be thankful for, I believe that will help us keep our eyes on God. The name of God, his name is holy. Who he is, his character, his holy name, his heart, his will. And this prayer is laid out to get us to focus on God first, as I said, and then we bring our request. Give me my daily bread. Give us our daily bread. The provision that we need. I believe the first few lines again there is about the principle of first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. Guys and ladies who are not married and you are seeking a wife, seek first the kingdom of God before anything else. And all these things will be added. And again, it is so important, as we have been talking about marriage earlier, that who you marry, start praying now. If you are wanting to be married, start praying now that God will bring the right person to you. As Fonny said, you marry the wrong person, just creates, yes, God can work in marriages and God can restore marriages. I met the right person 43 years ago, actually. There, 17-year-old boy who had the world before him and dreams and plans. Well, I had some. I had great dreams. I wanted to open up a coffee shop and a bookshop. That was my plan. And I had my running. But something else, someone else caught my attention. And my plans changed. And I met Annette and we got married. And God has taken us on a journey. So guys and girls, pray now about the person that God has for you. Back on to preaching. The first few lines, I believe, brings us to a pause. It's okay to pause. It's okay to pause. I'm trying to learn to pause, even as I preach. Because I know I can just keep going. But these lines, these first few lines, is to bring us to a pause. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do you know, and even as you just pause and think, our Father, he's my Father. He is my good, good Father. He loves me. He cares for me. He blesses me. And yes, he is in heaven, but yet he is close through his Holy Spirit, that he hears every cry that I would make because he cares for me. That is our Heavenly Father. And his name is holy. And as you just ponder and pause on that, I believe something in us, it just comes over as worship. God, thank you. Thank you that you are my Heavenly Father. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We see all through the Psalms about God's name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name. Psalm 145. The previous one was Psalm 103. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. Psalm 111, verse 9. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. Psalm 99, verse 3. And then in Luke 1:49, as Mary just gave God praise, she prays, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He has shown mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His name is holy, and the challenge and the encouragement for us is to keep his name holy. To keep his name holy. To not use it as a swear word. To not take his name in vain, as many today do. It's just they just say it as a curse word. The name of God. And we are called as a people of God to honour his name, bringing glory and honour to his name. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols, is what Isaiah says there. I will not give glory to my name. Are you getting it? His name. is holy. So, Stephen, what does that mean for me? What is it? Why? Is God's name is holy? What does that mean for my life? What does that mean for me? How does it change the way that I'm called to live my life? How does it impact our lives as believer? I do believe it should change the way that we live our lives, because we want to live lives pleasing to him. And the first thing I've got here is we respond to God in worship and in prayer and in adoration and awe and living in the fear of God. That is, I believe, the first place that we come to as we discover just God and who he is there. We offer our lives to him. We come as an act of worship, living sacrifices there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And so it's our lives. You know, when you became a believer, when you gave your life to God, it was for life. It was a serious act. It was a commitment to God. God, I am giving you my life. Not just for all the blessings. You know, all the stuff of life that comes against us, but praise God as we press through. God blesses even more our lives. Malachi, we did a series on Malachi. The people were coming to God and they were bringing poor offerings of sacrifices. And God challenged them on it. You know, I'm going to give, as they were saying, the best lamb. This one is the perfect. I'm setting this aside for God. But when it came to the time when they were to bring their offering, they would have second thoughts and they would just take another one. And so God was speaking to them about bringing the best offering. Do we want to, as believers, give God the best? We want to give God the best because he blesses our life. He is a holy God. Jesus saved us. So how can we repay? Well, we can't repay for what he's done, but we can live lives. We can live our lives. We can live our lives in obedience to God, obedient to his word, living to bring his name glory and honor. 1 Peter chapter 1 is a call to holy living. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says you must be holy because I am holy. It goes on in the next chapter, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Wow. Smile at me. Go. Smile. You're looking serious. You're looking serious. God, help us get this. Help us get this. Obedience to his word. You know, and many of us, we're conscious of this, the sins that we commit. Do you know what I mean? And we walk through life in guilt and shame. And we have a God who forgives us our sins, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There's also sins of omission. They talk about sins of commission and sins of omission, where we omit to do something. As I was going through a lot of my journals, I was going through them the other night there, right back to 2013. There, I've managed to get into a place where I journal every single day. But you know, as I look back on some of the things that God had spoken to me about, I realized that further on where I am, I haven't done some of the things that he's told me to do. And so I've omitted to do what he has told me to do. And so it's just, that's why I journal, because I forget. I'm getting old. I'm in my 40s. I omitted to tell you that I'm in my 60s. But I get old and I have to write things down. When God tells me to do things, now I'm in a place where I say, okay, And before I finish a journal, I go through the whole journal and I carry forward. You can tell the finance guy in me brought forward and carried forward. God, I need to bring this forward into my new journal because I haven't did that yet. And I need to do it. I need to be obedient to you. A great story that I came across in Exodus chapter 4, a sin of omission. Moses called to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. God met with them. God showed them some of the miracles that he was to show to the people of Egypt. And on the way home, Moses and his wife and the family decided to stop at an inn there. They decided to park up, rest for the night. And then there's an unusual verse. It says that God came to kill him. God came and was about to kill him. God confronted Moses and killed him. And I'm like, what? You call him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God, you want to kill him? And how that looks, many scholars, different views, like it was unwell or something happened, but God confronted him and was about to kill him, and his wife, Zipporah, took a flint knife and circumcised his son. She circumcised his son, and then it says, the Lord left him alone. Moses had omitted to circumcise his son on the eighth day, as the law required. Genesis 14, this is a covenant that you, your descendants, must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to members of your family, but also to servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. I wouldn't want to be a servant. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. And any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. And Abraham with his son circumcised Isaac. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. They followed the law of the covenant. And here, Moses hadn't circumcised his son. Many reasons. I wonder, maybe even going to his wife and saying, okay, today's the day. We're going to circumcise our son. No, we'll leave him. He's still grown up. It'll be painful. I'm just surmising. I'm not. This isn't in scripture. No, let's not do it today. Let's leave it till tomorrow. Let's leave it for another day. But Moses should have circumcised his son on the eighth day as a sign of the covenant. So we can, in our lives, just have sins of omission. So, be holy as I am holy. What a task. What a task. Can we do that? Can we be holy as he is holy? Is it possible? Yeah, not in our own strength, but God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to instruct us when we are going off, to bring conviction. God never left us to get on with it alone. He gave us his Holy Spirit. It talks about putting on Romans chapter 13. There is a call for believers, I'm put down here, to walk in holiness and obedience. Romans 13, 14 says, put on Christ. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. We put on Christ. He has given us his Holy Spirit. We put on his righteousness. Do you know, we have in Ephesians, we have the spiritual armor. We have the spiritual armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes, sword of the spirit, shield of faith. And we have that. Do you know in Exodus chapter 28, there is instructions for the clothing for the priest Aaron, who was a high priest, had sacred garments to wear. Glorious and beautiful, they're called. There was a chest piece. There was ephod, a type of apron. There was a robe, there was a tunic, there was a turban, there was a sash. There was a dress code for the high priest to wear. The turban on the head was to have attached to it a gold plate that was engraved. And on the engravement, the word on the gold plate was, "Holy to the Lord." Holy to the Lord. And it talks about the priest who would bear the guilt for the people as they offered their gifts. He was the high priest who was to take and offer the sacrifices there as the people come to bear the guilt of the people. Aaron must wear, as it says in Exodus 28:38, Aaron must wear it on his forehead so he may take on himself, any guilt of the people of Israel when they consecrate their sacred offerings. He must always wear it on his forehead so the Lord will accept the people. Holy unto the Lord. Pointing to someone else who would be holy, who would be righteous, who would bear the sins of the people. Jesus Christ, our high priest, looking to our high priest, holy to the Lord, he took upon himself the sins and the guilt of us. Isn't that good news? I think it is. Great news. And we are now called to be priests unto the Lord. We are called to be a royal priesthood unto God, holy to the Lord, set apart for God. Holy to the Lord. And I believe we also need to, third thing, live in the fear of God. You know, one of my prayers as I pray constantly is, Lord, give me your fear. Let the fear of the Lord come back to your church. I believe the fear of the Lord will keep us close to him. Fear God and keep his commandments. Do you know the writer in Ecclesiastes, as he searches for the meaning of life, as he says, God, what is life all about? And he experienced and went and searched and studied, and his conclusion was, in all that I have seen and all that I have heard and all that I have understood, it boils down to this. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and it's the beginning of wisdom. 2 Corinthians 7:1, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work towards complete holiness, because we fear God. We fear God. The fear of God. And this is not a scary fear that God is going to beat us up. This is just that holy, reverent awe, encouraged by the Holy Spirit and living in the fear of God. The church grew. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, as they came before the apostles and lied about their offering, and God struck them down dead. That would be our way, just to empty the church. That would be, I'm not going to that church. You get struck down dead. We're going to have a ministry time of God just searching hearts, and he will strike down dead anyone who is lying to him. Do you want to come forward? But yet the church grew, because there was something about the church that attracted the people to it. And I believe it was the way the people lived, and it was the presence of God. And in closing, as I near the end, you know, I believe for the past 2 years, Annette and I, we have been praying because I believe the word over the church across the world here in Dundee, is prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Do you know, we are living in the last days. Jesus is coming back. We are all going to stand in front of God, and give an account for our lives, not for condemnation or judgment, rewarded as we have lived our lives because Jesus has paid the price, but we will give an account for every careless word, for the things in our life. Jesus is coming back. Romans chapter 13 talks about in these last days for the church to awake from its slumber. In Acts, or in Romans, it was the last days. How much more are we in the last days? And I believe there is going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days. I'm praying, God, start in Dundee. God, start here. I am selfish. God, I want it. I want that to happen here. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days. The prophetic word in Malachi, it talked about, I will send a messenger before that great day. Yes, pointing to Jesus who came. John the Baptist was the messenger in the spirit of Elijah as he prepared the way for the Lord. But I believe that prophetic message is still for today. Prepare the way for the Lord to come. And so the prophetic word, I believe God is stirring up the prophetic today. And I believe there's going to be an increase of the prophetic because when God moves, he talks through, he speaks through his prophets. That's what the word of God says. And there'll also be a purifying. In Malachi, it talks about, for he will be like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. And he will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. The prophetic and a refining. And I believe God today is purifying his church. You know, we are the bride of Christ. And God is purifying his church, making the bride ready for that great day when there'll be a wedding feast, a supper of the Lamb where the bridegroom and the bride come together. Isaiah chapter 62 and Isaiah 35, 8 to 10 are the two verses that we pray, that Annette and I, we just hold on to. Isaiah 62 verse 10, go out through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return, smooth out the road, pull out the boulders, raise a flag for all the nations to see. For the Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him when he comes. And they. Come on, turn to someone and say, and they. Turn to the person beside you and say, And you. Just checking that you're awakened. And you will be called, what are you called? The holy people. The holy people redeemed by the Lord. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place and the city no longer forsaken. Do you know what my prayer is? God, let Dundee be the desirable place, the place that's no longer forsaken, but the place where God's presence reigns and God's presence is, where God's holy people are ministering and serving and reaching out to our city. Take a breath, Stephen. In Isaiah 35, and a great road will go out through that once deserted land, and it will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. And they will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear. And they will be filled with joy and gladness. God is calling his church to be his holy people. That is the word of God. God is calling us to align our lives with his word, to honor his name and to live our lives as we honour his name. I've said enough. Come on, let's stand. I'm going to ask the band to come back. Still got a few minutes, 10 minutes anyway, before the kids need to be collected from the kids' club. We've heard a lot. You've heard a lot of words. You've heard a lot of words. You've got some notes there. But as we just pause, let's pause and just think about some of the words that we've heard. I'm certainly not thinking that you're going to remember everything that I have spoken, but what is the thing? What is the words for you today? What is it that you need to do today? Can we just play quietly? Is that okay? Just as we stand before God. You know, in everything that I've been talking about, living holy lives, please, please do not leave here feeling condemned, feeling worthless, feeling you're not doing it. You know, we have a God who is full of grace and is here to be with you and to help you and to encourage you and to strengthen you. But in these days, in these last days, God is raising up his church, a holy people that will walk that highway of holiness, that who will resolve, my commitment is to God. My commitment is to God. And there may be things in your life that you need to just come before God and say, God, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me for the sin in my life? God, forgive me for distancing myself from you. God, forgive me for going my own way. God, forgive me for being angry at you. God, forgive me for the judgments I've made. God, forgive me for not trusting you. Father, would you give us, Lord, a revelation, a glimpse into your goodness and into your glory. Dare we pray the prayer from Isaiah 6, or pray what Isaiah saw. When the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And the cry of John in Revelation is, as he heard the voice say to him, come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Lord, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. As I was praying, I just felt for some people here, there was a word. A word I felt that I was to give. And all it is, was, it's time to return to God. Some people need to hear that this morning. It's time to return to God. Even as your heart has grown cooler towards him, your devotion to him is not what it used to be. For whatever situation, I believe God is saying, it's time to return to him. Maybe people here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Then I want to encourage you to give your life to him today. You've been trying to sort out your life, to fix your life, to make something of your life. But no one can transform your life other than God. Jesus Christ died for you. Hebrews 3:7 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Let the Holy Spirit soften your heart. It's time to return to God. It's time to return to God. Don't let anything keep you from returning to him. And so I'm not going to be praying for anyone. I just felt that we were just to have a time of worship. And we do have the front here. No one's going to come out and pray for you. But if that is something that you could use or that you need to do as we worship, just to come out the front and again, just rededicating your life back to God. Just coming before him afresh in that consecration and saying, "God, I'm yours. God, I belong to you. I give you my life back again today." Then you feel free to do that. And so, Father, today, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. And Lord, as we spend some time in worshiping the name above every name, I ask that your glory would fill this place. Lord, that you would search our hearts and that you stand with arms open wide and you welcome back those, Lord, who were lost and are now found. Those that have walked away and have now returned. Lord, bless us. Bless our fellowship together after the service. Lord, bless our week as we step into it. We give you all the glory.
Thank you for listening to the Dundee Elim podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and found it uplifting. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and share this episode with others. Remember, you can join us in person for services every Sunday from 10:30 to 12:30 and connect with our community on social media or our website. Until next time, stay blessed and keep shining your light.